Shalom everyone, and today we're studying Parashat Tzav, the book of Leviticus, Sefer Vayikra, chapter 6, verse 1. Vaydaber Adonai Moshe Lemo, Tzav et Aaron ve Banav Lemo, Zot Torah Ta'ula, Hi Ha'ula al Mokda. Okay, so the whole Parasha is discussing, like most of the book of Vayikra, discussing the issue of the offerings. And as we learned last week, the Zohar is teaching us that offerings could be, in Hebrew, you can read the same, the word as sacrifice, or, just a second, as sacrifice, or you can read it as getting close, which means you can be a victim, or you can be a victor. Just a second. So for the rest of the book of Leviticus, the book of Vayikra, which is called Leviticus because it is about the work of the Kohanim and the Levites, and the offerings is part of it. So we have, in this parasha, we have another concept, and we just read it, and it's mostly focused on that concept. Zot Torah Ta'ula, this is the teachings of the Ola. Ola is the burnt offering. Why it's called Ola? Ola means going up, which is basically going up. It's a burnt offering, so it's going to be burnt on the fire, on the altar, all night, till the morning. And here it speaks also about the eternal fire. So we have a question. Why do we need to read this story? What for? What is the purpose? We are not going to sacrifice, not today and maybe tomorrow. Maybe the Messiah is coming and we're going to have an amazing celebration in the building of the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, and will be. But right now, today, as we are reading it, we're not bringing the sacrifices or the offerings. So what is the learning? What do we study? What do we get out of it right now as we study the same parasha, the same book all the time? So the first concept is Uneshalma Farim Sfateinu. We will bring the offerings today with our lips, which means the prayers. And when we see the sequence, the structure of the Hebrew prayer book, it is built step by step, just corresponding or in a parallel to the whole tradition of the offerings in the temple. So we see that we have, in a way, now that we last almost 2,000 years, we do not have Beit HaMikdash, the temple, so we replace the work of the temple with, instead of it, we're using the prayers. And the purpose is the same purpose. If we said that the purpose of the prayers is to raise ourselves, just a second. So again, the purpose of our prayers is to come instead of the temple work, all the temple work that is described to the detail in the book of Vayikra. Our job is to replace it. And if you notice, we started with that in Parashat Tuma and Tetzaveh. We started that the person at his home and now at his prayer in the synagogue or any prayers we make, the Hebrew prayer book, it's all coming to replace. So instead of one temple that is doing the job for the whole planet, now the work is being divided into many people, whoever is making his daily prayers, whoever is making his daily connections to the Creator, that replaced after the falling of the temple, that is replacing the work, and the same, but the concept is the same concept. This isn't for the purpose of getting closer to the Creator, getting the physical reality closer to the Creator. That's why it's called Korban, from the word Keruv. And more than that, as Rabbi Ashlag is explaining, we have to remember, when we do any spiritual work and we feel that this is a sacrifice, you know, a lot of people turn it into, you know, I'm sacrificing so many minutes, hours a day for prayers, for study. If you feel the burden of a sacrifice, this is a problem, because when you feel the burden of the sacrifice, you're basically not connecting to God's network, but you're connecting to the dark side network. Okay, why? Because when a person is doing it as a victim, he feels that he's sacrificing, oh God, I'm sacrificing my time, I'm really doing in pain, and although I don't like the prayer, although I don't, you know, I'm not enjoying it, but I'm sacrificing my time and my effort to do because you told me. And that's called basically the dark side of religion. When you think that you're doing a favor to God, or that's one aspect. The other aspect is that you pay your dues to God by prayers, visiting the prayer house, the house of worship, whatever you have. When you think that you're doing God a favor, or you're doing all of those things like charity, like prayers, or other missions or orders or precepts of your religion, when you do it because you want God not to punish you. So when you go to heaven, you are going to be rewarded for all that sacrifice that you made. Another aspect is, you know, I'm just giving from the Zohar, what the Zohar is saying. Or other people, they do pray, they do pay the religious dues just because they don't want their kids to be sick, or they don't want to have, they want, they do it, and it's like, okay, I'll make my religious, I'll pay my dues, I'll give charity, I'll go to the house of worship, and all of it, so God will spare me and I won't get sick. All of these, it's basically connecting to the dark network. Why? Because the moment it's tircha, it's a burden, it's a sacrifice, you basically miss the main point. And what is the point? As we spoke about it last week, the point is that all of these rituals, traditions, precepts, whatever you name it, religious rites, all of those were created for one purpose and one purpose alone, which is to elevate us so we can get closer and tap into God's network, so His light can fill us up, and with that light, we can rise mentally, spiritually, emotionally, because the light of the Creator is the only thing that can really purify us from within and improve our lifestyle, which means emotions, good luck, good fortune, whatever we feel and vibrate. This is the purpose, which means Rabbi Ashlag is saying, and he's not the only one. The Arizal is bringing a lot of teachings about it, especially in his book, The Gate of the Mitzvot. If you do not visualize, imagine, contemplate, concentrate, that by your actions of the mitzvot, you are connecting to God's light, and you have to feel how your actions are bringing down. You just have to start with imagination. A, that you're bringing down God's light into your own life. 2B, which means that you're so excited about it, like you won thousands of golden coins, That's what Rabbi Azakluya is saying. If you do this and you contemplate on A, that you're bringing God's light in, B, that you're so excited about it, more than you want golden coins, the result will be that you will feel that your life is being elevated because you're connected to God's network. And that means that it's, instead of a burden, that's going to be a really exciting event. You can't miss it. Why? Because, you know, where can you get so much high, so much elevation, so much elation, because then they're connected to God's light. Everything else, like alcohol, drugs, shopping, whatever makes you high, all of this is just a poor imitation of the original. And here is the way we can connect, tap in to the network of God's light, and that's why it's called Korban. So we get close to the system of the Sefirot, the system of the illuminations, God's illuminations, and we tap into it, so it's not a burden. It's an elation. It's an excitement. And that is one of the most important aspects of a human's life, because if that is missing, what's left? Enjoying what? Alcohol, enjoying good food. This is very limited. It's not really fulfilling. And you know, you sit for a great dinner and you have amazing food and a lot of food, but the more you eat, the less you enjoy. In that case, that fits the phrase, what is more is less. Let's say you love meat, okay? And you go to this restaurant that serves the most amazing, high quality meat. The more you eat, the less you enjoy. Finally, you can't look at the meat in your plate and you push it away with disgust. That is to show that this is not the real purpose of life. I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy eating meat. Why not? But if you see it, visualize it, focus on it, that this is one of the greatest joys of life, anything of a physical, materialistic joy, that is a very temporary, it has a very temporary nature. It cannot really fulfill us in a continuous way. It can fulfill us, enjoy us, just for half an hour, you know, but then it's over. 2 hours. How long can you enjoy eating? Okay, finally, it's the bloating and the overeating, it's a burden. That's a burden. However, when you have spiritual connection, this is a connection the moment you create it, this is never wearing off. Every time you make the connection, some of our negativities is being erased, cleansed. So we just becoming better and better. About this, you can say, what is more is more. One is elusive, the physical. One is reality. One is the truth. And that is spiritual. And we have to train ourselves to make that connection in a way, not that it is a burden. If you do it as a burden, you're connecting to the dark network. That's what all the sages are saying. And therefore, we have to be really careful. Paying religious dues and feel a burden, you're connecting to the wrong network. And you're doing something wrong. You better get out of there, because it's like whoever knows when you drive on a highway in the US and you make a wrong turn and then you see a big sign, wrong way, which means if you continue this way, you're going into a head-on collision. So get off the road and change the direction, because you're taking the wrong direction. That's why a lot of people hate religion with passion, because they were trained all their lives with guilt and negativity, that they have to pay the religious dues for the wrong reason. And therefore, they were trained since childhood to connect to the dark network. Therefore, they hate religion with passion, because sooner or later you feel that you're being eluded, that you're being cheated, that you're doing something wrong, because it doesn't bring you up, It just brings you down. In this case, you better, wrong way. Get off the road, find another road. Now, here we have one of the most amazing articles in the Zohar concerning this issue. And I'll just start with the beginning of the Zohar, Parshat Tzav, Pirush HaSulam. Verse 1 in the commentary HaSulam of the Zohar, Zot Torat HaOlam. Rabbi Shimon Patach ve'amar, Tzidkatcha kara'el mishpatecha tohom rabba ve'gomer. Hai kraokim nalei ve'itmar, tachaze, hai ola sliku ukshiru deknesset Yisrael ha'ila. ודיבוקה דילה בגו עלמא דעתי, למהווה כל אחד, בכישורה חדה, בחידור, ובגין דסלקה לילה לילה, כתיב זאת תורת. רזה, דחר ונוקבה כחדה, תורה שבכתב ותורה שבעל פה לסלקה בחביבותה. That was the Aramaic. Now, let's translate it. So, it's going around a verse in Psalms 36. But it's not important so much. The concept is important. And it says, we learned the burnt offering is about, in Hebrew, it's called Ola. Ola means rising up, ascending, elation. This Ola is raising up and connecting Knesset Israel above, which means the upper divine presence. What does it mean upper? That it is above the perception of our five senses. That's why it's called upper. Okay? And all the way up to its attachment to the Olam Haba. Olam Haba is translated by mistake into the world to come, but in Hebrew, it means the world that is coming. So usually, when we are using the term Olam Haba, we're talking about the world that is coming at us. Which world? The spiritual world, the spiritual, real, true world, Olam HaEmet. The Olam HaEmet is all the real spiritual dimension beyond the five senses. Now, this world is broadcasting to us, towards us, at us, for us, and when we make the tefillot, the prayers, we, in the consciousness of raising ourselves up, we are basically raising ourselves towards that spiritual world that is coming at us. And basically, when we make those connections, which means either the mitzvah of tefillah, prayers, or let's say tefillin, or the tzedakah, charity, any kind of mitzvah, it's about joining. The word mitzvah comes from the word tzevet, to join, to team the upper world and the physical world. Now, that needs, as we said many times, our awareness, because our awareness is the only thing that can make that connection. And the human mind is the only mind in the world. No, animals cannot do that. The only mind that can connect, unite, merge the upper world, Olam Haba, and the physical world, Olam Hazeh, at once, that's a human brain. All your life you have to train yourself to make that connection, because if you do not do that, the result will be that you're trying to satiate your hunger with only physical connections. That can never satiate the human being, because a human being is a Merkava. It's a composition of a body and a soul. So what is the biggest problem of our society? The biggest problem of our materialistic society, that since childhood, we're being raised for addiction. Since you're a baby, you're exposed to the promotions of products, promotions of, if you look at it, it's a brainwashing continuously. Since we're babies, watching TV, watching programs, everything is to condition us from childhood till adulthood, that if we have certain products, that will make us happy. If you do, if you become a good worker in the network, the money network of the modern society, which means you put effort to raise the GDP of your country, you're going to make more money so you can spend more money. And this money is going to give you happiness. So you're going to buy the nice house and the nice cars and the nice, all the pleasures that society can give you. Vacations, all of that stuff. And that will satiate your quest for fulfillment. But that's a lie. That's a big, grave lie. Because that can never fulfill a human being. It's not that I have, you know, the Torah has nothing against having a nice house. On the contrary, you should have a nice house. You should have nice clothes. You should have everything nice around you. But the question is, if you are focusing on that, that this is what's going to satiate your cravings for fulfillment, the result is that you will feel that something is missing. And that is the big plague of our society. The more you have, look around the world, the more you have, the more depressed you become. Why? Because it's empty. Without connecting to the upper world, without connecting to God's network of light, what, it doesn't matter how much food you eat at the most luxurious restaurants. You know what? You are rich enough to get to hire the best chefs in the world to work in your mansion, in your palace. Doesn't matter, in your multi-million dollars penthouse in Manhattan or villa in Toscana. That's not going, if that is the focal point of your fulfillment, that's not going to fulfill you. It's going to give you, that is good only as just, it's just a decoration, but it cannot be the core of our fulfillment. And this is what this parasha is about. You really want to understand your job as a human being. It's about the offering, and the offering is about connecting to the world to come. So now when we connect it to the world to come, which is also Bina, Bina means that frequency, that Sefirah, that illumination that is above our physical reality and physical consciousness, every human being has that potential ability to connect to Bina. But what you need to do in order to connect to Bina, you need to train your brain and your mind and your heart to make that elevation. And that is when you condition yourself to, through the prayers, through the study of the Torah, to elevate yourself to a higher level of existence. That is called the world to come. Liyot HaKol Echad. And when you do that, then it's going to unite everything as one. You see that also the pillar of the prayer is the Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. It's all is one. Everything is one. What do you mean it's one? The physical reality that is visible, that my five senses can perceive, and the spiritual realm that I cannot see, but I have to develop my extra senses in order to connect to it. How do I develop it? Through the learning of the Torah, through the learning of the Zohar, through the prayers. Little by little, we develop our brain to be able to surf in God's network. How do you do that? So, scientifically, since the early 90s, there's a new science that is called neurotheology. Neurotheology, which means the neurologic aspect of religion. And they found out, there was, I think, one of the greatest scientists in that aspect. His name is Newberg. He's from Andrew Newberg, from, if I'm not mistaken, he's from Pennsylvania. And he found out, it's like he has no findings all the time for the last 30 years, that when a person is concentrating and training himself in exactly what we said, spiritual meditation, prayers, meditation, focusing, learning, teaching yourself to connect to something beyond the physical materialistic realm, physically, the frontal lobe of the brain, the part here when you put the tefillin on, that part is becoming thicker. Physically, you can see that the tissue of the brain of that part is becoming thicker, more developed. People with such a developed frontal lobe, because they simply learn or train themselves daily to focus on a holy object, which means that's the basic idea of Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. You have always to contemplate on God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's one of them. So when you pray, every time we say Baruch Ata Hashem, okay, you contemplate on God's name. So, or every time that appears, or every time you're making this kind of a mitzvah, a bracha, a connection, and so on, what happens to human beings that develop the frontal lobe is amazing, because there is a part in the human brain that is very animalistic. That's in the back brain. It's called also the primitive brain. That is the center, the elongated back brain. It's a center of emotions like stress, all the system of fight, flight, and freeze, the three Fs, which means every animal needs that system so instinctively we can deal with the threats. But most of the day, we do not face threats like animals in nature. It's like how many times we are facing the option to be eaten daily, okay? How many times we need to physically fight for our life or run for our lives daily? Our brain, the part, the animalistic, the lower brain frequency, the moment you let that control you, what will happen is that sooner or later we start to develop stress. That's the biggest disease in nowadays. Stress because every time we get rejected in business or in family relationships, okay, we get stressed out. Every time we get disappointed, it's all of these emotions are like a merry-go-round roller coaster of negativity, and that controls your body. That means high adrenaline, and you know what happens when we have high levels of stress? We start our brain start to depress, suppress our immune system. Okay? And then the results are terrible. Now, what Newberg, Andrew Newberg, Professor Newberg found out that when people develop the frontal lobe, that part of daily contemplating, concentrating, meditating on connecting our minds, our brain system into the upper realms, the result is that the frontal lobe is controlling that back brain, and all of those like dramas that we experience, the moment the frontal lobe is taking over, those dramas are being silenced. We are not, it's not controlling ourselves. It's not controlling us. Those emotions, we can look at something that most people will be depressed by, or alerted, or afraid, and say, it happens. Let's take over. It's like everything is for the good. There must be a reason. We'll find a way. The brain reacts totally differently. Which means it's not a matter of religion, it's a matter of survival. This is what people don't understand. Spirituality is our only tool to stay sane in this world that has so much pressure, so much. It's a flood of information and events that if we are not developing our spirituality, that stress crushes people. And therefore, the biggest plague in the world right now is depression, which is a result of not being able to handle the stress. And therefore, people cannot handle love relationship because when you're so stressed out, you're not capable of really building loving relationships with other people because the stress manages you, controls you. So here, when we are busy daily connecting our physical reality with the spiritual realm, this is a different lifestyle. This is a different frequency. This is a different, it's like you live in another world, literally. So your ability to do business is much better because the stress does not control you. So who would you prefer to do business with? People get drama every moment and everything scares them and they make a big scene from every little obstacle, or with people that always have a positive outlook. Who would you prefer to do business with? Who would you trust more? So we have to remember this is not a luxury. This is a matter of survival or simply staying behind and missing life because you spend your life being stressed out and being busy all the time with the fight flight. You just look like a scared animal in trapped in a somewhere in a race in the jungle or in the savannas. And what do you prefer to be? So when we are all focusing on that union, besimcha, with happiness, because when you pray, when you meditate, you're really elevating. You learn, you teach yourself, you train yourself to elevate yourself to the upper realm, to Bina. And when it says Zot Torah Ta'olah, the whole thing is about, it's a code of uniting male and female together. What does it mean, male and female together? So you have like the body and the soul, male and female. The soul is the male, the body is the female. Why? The soul is projecting life, the body is receiving. So we have male and female relationship. Or it could be upper world, spiritual world, the world of love and kindness and elation, and the physical world that is basically the vessel for the upper world. So you need a nice house. You need a healthy body to be a place so the divine presence can dwell in. So again, you have the connection, male and female connection, we are talking about connecting the light and the vessel, the spirituality with physical reality. This is the main aspect, and it is so important because this is the source of real happiness. Without that, we can't live happy life because we see it again and again, wherever we look. The more money we have, the more time we have to spend this money, the less happy we are. Why? If you're looking for it where it's not existing, what are the chances you're going to find it? Close to none. If you're looking for your happiness in the physical materialistic frequency, it's not there. It's not really there. Okay, so let's continue with another. Okay. Verse 11. Rabbi Elazar Shoil Rabbi Shimon Avoy. Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, is asking his father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And he's saying like this. This is the question. Hakishua decholai etkashar bakodesh hakodeshim itnara. That connection to the Holy of Holies, that shining of light, okay? That attachment of the will of the Kohanim, Leviim, Israel, the Kohen, the Levite, and the Israelites above. How far can it rise? Can it ascend? How far can it go? Which means, again, when we're talking about the temple work, how far that elevation can go to? Or the replacement, today's prayers, okay, how far can that go up? And the answer is of Rabbi Shimon. Amar lo ha'emadnu. Sh'advekut shelahem ola. Their The word vekut, it's a very important concept in spirituality. Dvekut comes from the word davek. Davek means to attach, like to glue. Devek is glue. Davek means that somebody attaches to something else, and we're talking about spiritual attachment. How can we create spiritual attachment? So Rabbi Ashlag is teaching us. We equalities attract, which means water-based materials can attach to water-based materials, but water-based materials cannot attach to oil-based materials. Okay? So, because water and oil are not the same. The same thing in the spiritual universe. The God-light network is light, and the main frequency is loving kindness, chesed. Therefore, how do you tap into that network? You need to generate loving kindness, unconditional. And that's tough. This is not that easy, correct? But you want to live, you want to be happy, you want to connect to that network of bliss and good fortune. You need to love others, you need to generate that frequency against your low emotions, stress, animosity, alienation, and stuff like this. This is the big mitzvah of loving others as you love yourself. How does the verse continues? I am God. God says, you want to connect to my network? Generate love. But they don't deserve it. Who spoke about them? You want to connect to God's light, God's network? You have to generate the frequency of love. How? When you focus on that holy concept that is called love, that not the physical love, okay, of this physical world. We're talking about unconditional spiritual love. First, train with human beings, then you'll be able to apply it to God's network. Because when you vibrate love, then you tap, attach, connect, dvekut, till you feel one with the upper world. So you find it in many spiritual teachings. That concept of dvekut, when you connect to that spiritual frequency, Newberg, let's talk about him before, he saw that when the human brain of somebody who trains himself in meditation reaches that place, the brain works totally differently. Usually, the human brain works on the frequency of 13 to 17, if I'm not mistaken, hertz. But when a person is really in the midst of a prayer, meditation, contemplation, with a lot of love and excitement, and the brain can jump to 40, over 40 hertz frequency, and then the whole brain is. And that's when a person feels one with the whole universe. That experience is called oneness, which means dvekut, oneness. You don't, and he explains, it's like the physical brain is not standing in your way. You just feel one with the endless universe. And the brain really shifts from one frequency to another. The result is amazing because when you think like this, you are enlightened, you connect to inspiration, you connect to elevation, and you see reality from such a different place, and it's also healing more than anything else, the physical body. So how far that goes? So when we reach that frequency, says Rabbi Shimon, you can go all the way up to the Sefirot, all the way to the Ein Sof, to the endless. And we have to remember, the Sefirot, okay, the emanations, those are basically the vessels that the endless light of the Creator shines through. Sefirah means in Hebrew illumination, in a limitation. Okay? Why? Because if we get the endless light directly into our souls, we simply will evaporate. There's no affinity. It's too much for us. So God's light must infiltrate, emanate through the sefirot. It's like transformers that filter the light, so when it comes to us, we can deal with that light. Okay, now, when we rise with our prayers, meditations, and offerings, when we offer ourselves to connect to the upper sefirot, our thoughts and emotions, when we really do it right, we can go all the way to the endless, which means we're not limited anymore by any sefirah, which means the sefirah is also a limitation. That's a oneness we're talking about, that when we reach that place, everything is possible. You can split the Red Sea, heal any disease, solve any problem, simply go beyond what your logic, the limitations of the logic. And that is the purpose of the creation of humanity, to achieve that. Ki kol kesher v'yichud v'shlemut, because every connection, every unification, every completion, hu lignoz b'tzniut ha'yishena museget v'lo noda, is basically to reach that hidden, treasured reality that has no perception by human brain. Do we need to perceive that? Even in a simple example, I gave it many times. You see a couple in love, really in love, okay? It's not just a physical attraction. Soulmates, they found each other, they match, they work like a team, they have the goals of reaching together, spirituality and stuff like this. This is real love, and they're happy. And now a psychologist is coming to them and says, please explain to me what you're feeling. When you feel love and you're so elated by that, you don't need to explain it. When somebody is really happy, you don't need to explain it. You don't even know how to explain it. You just, the only thing can tell the psychologist, do whatever I did and you'll feel what I felt. I can't explain it to you. When do we explain? Failure is being to be explained. Oh, we messed that up and they messed it up for us and you'll find somebody to blame. The real spiritual treasured light, when you connect it to it, there's no place for logical explanations, because real love is beyond logic. Real happiness is beyond logic. Why? Because the endless. Why it's called the endless? Because logic can perceive items only by definition, only by boundaries. Yet the human brain can perceive anything that has boundaries. We know where it starts, when it ends. That's why we call it definitions. In Hebrew, it's stronger. You call it hagdarot. The word for definition, hagdara, in Hebrew is fence. When you're fencing it, now that you fence it, I know where it started. When it finished, I know the boundaries. I can give it a name and perceive it. But the real stuff is beyond logic, beyond imagination, beyond boundaries. That's why it's called the endless. We don't really know what it is. We know it has no boundaries. And that's what's important. So, when we reach that place, we come to that place that is so hidden, because when we think, try to understand, we're looking for boundaries. Happiness is when we escape that place of boundaries. Okay? How do you reach that? The spiritual growth, the spiritual development. Then, and here it says, he explained to us, Asher Retzon Kol HaRetzonot Bo. That's where the desire of all desires in it. How do you call it a desire? So the answer is like this. What comes first, the fulfillment or the desire? So for most people, the logic says first the desire. You want a cake, and then you're looking for that cake in the somewhere in the bakery, and you buy it and you eat it because you wanted it. Now, how do you know you want that cake if you never tasted it before? So it could be that that cake once was served to you. Said, what is this cake? It said, oh, that's a this kind of a cake. The many kinds of cakes. You taste it, say, oh, that's wonderful. So you didn't have a desire for that cake before you tasted it. So how do we know we want to connect to the endless? And the answer is, when we were created, God, the Creator, instilled that want in us. When he fulfilled us with that light. And as long as we don't get the taste, we'll never feel complete. What can we do? That's our destination. That's Vayikra. That's our calling. It doesn't matter how much food we're going to eat and the best food. It doesn't matter that we're going to attain, buy, purchase, experience, whatever experiences on this earth. There's always that memory inside us. Retzon kol haretzonot. The will of all wills of God to share with us. It imprinted itself inside us, and we will always feel missing as long as we're not tapping it. So, how do we do that? First, we need to overcome the lower obstacles. And the lower obstacles, and we're moving now to verse 15. And it says over there, just like a second. Okay, we'll go to verse 23. We start, Al ken itan tzad acher hazeh biyad hakohen. That's verse 15. So, who can remove the dark side? We all have negative thoughts, negative emotions, limiting desires, which means we are basically brainwashed by reality that what we need is just the physical aspect of life. Okay? And that's from the beginning of humanity. Since the sin of Adam, we have that problem. How can we eliminate those noises that distract us, that make us really think and addict to materialistic experiences? And the answer is, verse 15, that side, that other side, the dark side of our personality can be eliminated only by the Kohen. What is the Kohen? The aspect of loving kindness, the aspect of chesed and giving. That's the only way, which is how do you destroy darkness? Bringing in light. How do you destroy negativity? Being positive. How do you destroy bad thoughts? Concentrating on positive thoughts. Okay? I always love to go once in a while, once in every few years. There's a site of Mayo Clinic. You heard about Mayo Clinic, one of the biggest medical centers in the world. And on their internet site, there's a place that speaks about positive thinking and how much science advanced by realizing that when people are focusing, training themselves to think positive, how many physical diseases can improve when a person is changing his thinking to positive. Which means instead of being busy with the negative, think and develop positive. And that will embed your physical position. And they have a long, long list, and it's getting longer every year, of how many diseases. It is proven that positive thinking is improving the symptoms of that disease and getting you closer to healing. This is science. Science is just basically talking about it. But how much money the commercial world is making from you becoming happy? and you're taking less medicines. Just think about it. So nobody promotes it that much. So how do we remove the negative thoughts? How? And it says, and that's called the other side, the dark side. וכאן ניתן לו לשרוף את המחשבה הרעה. How do we learn how to burn the bad thoughts and feelings that we have? We shouldn't embrace them. We shouldn't befriend them. We should simply burn them. How do you burn them? With that offering that we're just talking about it. Let me explain. Verse 23. רבי יחא פתח, רבי יחא open and said, והאש על המזבח תוקד בו, לא, והאש על המזבח תוקד בו, that's verse, verse 2, the end of verse 2, and the fire should be burnt over the altar. What does it mean? We have a question. Why? Why do we need that fire so much? And a Kohen, why the Kohen has to light that fire early in the morning? We learned, she'esh b'chol makom odin, we learned that fire is judgment. And Kohen is not judgment. It's love, kindness, sharing, compassion. Now the Kohen has to burn the fire? What are you talking about? Umeshi, verse 24, elakach lamanu, so we learn. אדם הבא לחטוא לפני אדונו הוא שורף את עצמו בשלהבת יצר הרע. When a person is in the sin mode, what does it mean? Either it's a passion for something that will destroy you, either it's a thought of anger, upset, stress, whatever negativity there is, that is the impure spirit. That is the dark side. How do you burn that dark spirit that basically destroys our lives? Okay. And how do we do it? We need another fire. And which fire? That should be a fire that is lit by the Kohen. What does it mean? There are two kinds of fire. There's a fire that the person is lighting inside himself when he's in passion. Passionate for something that destroys him. Okay? When somebody is addicted, when he's getting excited about that addiction, that is a fire. Okay? And there's another fire that is an excitement that is coming from anger, from hate, from any kind of negativity. Those fires, we know, again, modern science, since even the 70s, they create inflammation. So people with inflammatory state of mind and nature, they are in a danger of heart issues, which is inflammation. The Zohar spoke about it some 2000 years ago. Everything else is a inflammation in the body is a result of, and that separate of negative inflammation, of negative fire. How you turn off negative fire? By positive fire. What is positive fire? That is fire that is set up by the Kohen. What is a Kohen? The aspect in our nature of love, compassion, giving, caring, and sharing. That is the Kohen, which means when a person is highly excited, but this is excitement of negativity, hatred, passion for physical and stuff like this. This is dangerous. Why? Basically, it makes us less healthy, less wise, less successful because it connects us to the dark network of the dark side. How do you turn it off? By turning on the holy fire. That's a fire that is coming out of love. So, again, if you are getting excited, don't be excited about what you are against. You should be excited about what you are for. Don't be excited about what you are painful about, be excited about the stuff that is involved with love, compassion, and giving. When you create that, and let's go back to Newberg again. When we are negatively excited, hatred, anger, upset, it's all coming from the fight, flight, freeze mechanism, which is very, very low. And where does it reside? In the back brain. When we are focusing on our connection to the Creator and His light, that's in the front lobe, when we can focus on that, that shuts down the fire in the back brain. Okay? This is scientifically proven. Which means if you are just going to focus of how wrong is the person that hurt you, how fearsome is the situation, you're just going to add wood and fuel to the fire. You're going to fuel yourself in being against a negative, fearful stress that suppresses your immune system and also your IQ and your brain capacity. However, when you're focusing on your spiritual advancement, but what you really want, not what you don't want, that is the holy fire. And Newberg explains that if you get that, not just into the calmness of the Kohen, but you get excited about it, it's a fire. It's a fire of excitement, of love and passion. Then you turn on the back brain again, but now it goes together with the frontal lobe that the frontal lobe is controlling. Now you get the feeling of oneness because now it's a fire of positive excitement about reality, about godliness, about endless light, about everything, about the creation. You can experience the creation. This is so powerful. And therefore, contemplating doing that in the morning, that's why the morning prayer is so important. And what's important about it? That you get yourself excited about it. Get yourself happy about it. And what if you can't? What does it mean you can't? Most healthy people, if you put happy music, exciting music, with your prayer, you get excited. Okay, if you start dancing, you get excited. The whole idea of Hasidic movement was that the Baal Shem Tov, the holy Baal Shem Tov, he came to all those people who claimed to be very holy, but we're talking about Eastern Europe in the 18th century, they were so holy, they were so deadly serious about it, and they were like, "Why we don't get godliness?" And he said, "Because you are sad all the time. You don't ignite any fire. It's always about, you know, we have to be right, we have to be right, we have to go by the laws, we have to be really strict, we have to be really serious about it. You're too serious. You're not excited. How can you connect to God's light if you're not excited? If you didn't turn on the fire in the morning, the fire of love, the fire of excitement, the fire of exciting, not about, you know, bad things that other people did or bad things that you did yourself. But you're excited about connecting to God's light. If you do that this way, you'll see how that fire turns off all other fires. So that is this parasha about. And also, this parasha most of the time is coming before Passover. And what do we do before the holy day of Passover? We collect the chametz, which is a symbol of our negativity. And in the morning of Passover day, we burn it with fire. And what is Zohar saying? When you burn the chametz in the morning, you have to contemplate that by burning your chametz, you are really diminishing the power of darkness and negativity in the world. And that is what we should do every morning. Whenever we get up and we get excited about praying, about connecting to God in every aspect of the day, we burn and eliminate and remove a little bit of the world darkness, and we make by this the world a better place to live in, not just for us, but for the whole of humanity. And that's our calling, that's our job. Thank you, and all the best.